Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's live sports on, by the way, that never happens during the Fan Morning Show. There's a soccer game on in the Euro 2020.
Who's playing?
North Macedonia, I think, is playing South Macedonia. Big battle there.
Yeah, or Ukraine, whatever.
Yeah. Just wait till
Ukraine?
Just wait till
they merge and form Central Macedonia.
Yeah, Yugoslavia, Macedonia. The Macedonians, you don't the South or North, you don't want to mess with. They're rough.
You don't want to mess with any of those breakaway Yugoslav republics.
No, they will get at you. Anyway, Jason Mackey joining us here. Fan Hotline brought to you by the Workers' Compensation Law Firm of Hall and Capitis. Good morning to you, Jason. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Doing great. How are you?
We're great. We're watching the Macedonians play soccer. It's fabulous. And then we're going to watch golf at 9:45. There's a double dip of live sports coming on, which never happens during the Fan Morning Show. Nonetheless, we talk about the Pirates with you. We were, at least, I don't know how Chris or Jim felt, but I think we were all in agreement. We were hesitant about having a referendum on Derek Shelton and his managerial prowess. Because last year was, you know, the pandemic. This year, you don't have a whole lot to work with. But there have been some things, at least this is just from me, that I've seen in the past couple weeks, particularly with the management of starting pitchers, where I say, I think it's okay to start to rate the manager, and I think there are some deficiencies that he's had. I'm not saying he's a bad manager, but I think it's okay to start to look at him as an in-game manager. And it happened again yesterday with the starting pitcher, who I think he could have got more length from. Are we okay to start to look at his in-game decisions and say, I'm going to start to rate him as a manager?
Oh, I think so. I think we're there, Colin. I have no issue with that whatsoever. I think if you're looking, you know, big picture, saying, like, this guy isn't winning enough games or something like that, I mean, that's not fair. He doesn't have the roster to compete. But once you're on the field, once the game starts, to me, that's fair game. And I agree with you on the starting pitching decisions. I don't understand some of them. If I'm a pitcher on that team, I'm upset. I mean, why are guys like, you know, Chase DeYoung yesterday, JT Brubaker the other day, they throw 71 pitches and they get taken out of the game because of high-stress innings. Tyler Anderson throws 102. He gave up 6 runs. You can't tell me there wasn't high-stress innings there. And why is one not allowed to deal with the other? And the Will Crow decision, like, these are just puzzling things. I mean, that has nothing to do with the Pirates. Payroll, they're in a game. They have a chance to do something. And a decision by their manager, in my opinion, costs them either runs or the game. And so I think it's fair to criticize. I just don't think it's fair to criticize and say, you know, oh, the Pirates are only hitting X or they're only, you know, performing, you know, blanket statement on the season in Derek Shelton's tenure. Like, that's unfair. But in-game stuff, absolutely.
Jason, to piggyback off of Tyler Anderson, it strikes me that they had a moment to, and maybe the market wasn't there. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but they had a moment to maybe move him, to jump on opportunities, to maybe move Adam Frazier, Richard Rodriguez. Do you get the sense that they're going to hold out until the last minute at the deadline to try and drive up some value on any of those guys, even though there's the calculated risk of, hey, we don't know if it's going to drop off with any of these guys?
Well, here's where I'm at on that, Chris, and you bring up a good point with Anderson because his value was a lot higher a couple weeks ago. But as I understand it, their phone was not ringing off the hook about offers for Tyler Anderson. Like, they weren't sifting through stuff and saying, nah, not quite good enough. Like, it didn't get to that point, and it usually doesn't this time of year unless you're peddling something ridiculous, which they were certainly not with Tyler Anderson. As he's pitched lately, I do worry about what they're going to get back for him. And to your question, like, are they going to move early or are they going to, you know, sort of hold out? I don't know. I don't think they know. And I don't think that's something that is like that black and white, right? Like, you're going to get, they go through this complicated process, and all major league teams do this, where you say, how do we value this player? What's our number on this player? What do we think we should get back for this guy? And they do it for Rich Rod, they do it for Frazier. And you want to get that. And if you don't get to that threshold, you're probably going to say no, unless there's some sort of extenuating circumstance. And so, you know, the Pirates have this value established, and opposing teams have what they want to pay for a player. A lot of times that stuff doesn't mean, you know, Pirates want a lot right now, and they might have to budge off their ask. Other teams aren't going to pay through the nose because they want stuff to come down. So it's a game of chicken, and I think it will change the closer we get to the trade deadline. But, you know, I also do see the side of the Pirates where you have to, you know, get something back for these guys. Don't wait till the end and get screwed and make a bad deal.
You know, Jason, especially in with the Will Crow situation, and I know you used the phrase, it may have cost them games, some of the moves that he's made. But for me, I don't care about the individual games this season. I'm thinking about development. And, okay, so a guy has a 10-pitch at bat and walks a guy on a close pitch, and then they say, well, let's get him out of there because, man, that was a lot of stress. Don't you want to see how those guys react? Because they're not young. They're inexperienced, but they're only like mid-20s. Don't you want to see how those guys react to those situations? Isn't that better for the organization?
No doubt, Jim. No doubt. I agree with you 1,000%. I mean, and believe me, I could yap for hours on like why I want to see pitchers pitch deeper into games and why I think that's important. Like, I think there's a difference between letting a guy fail and stew in it versus like giving him enough rope to try something. And, you know, it's just, That's the line they were walking with Will Crow personally. I don't think they walked it the right way. And I think it's also like an inconsistent grading scale. I think I wrote that in something where I just, you know, I don't understand why you apply one rule to one guy and another rule to another guy. And what the heck about a 10-pitch at bat is that disastrous that the guy can't possibly continue after that? And to your development point, Jim, how are you supposed to learn how to pitch deep in games if you don't pitch deep in games? How are you supposed to learn how to get out of sticky situations if you don't get out of sticky situations? And I don't mean that, you know, apropos to what's going on with baseball right now. I actually liked what Chase DeYoung did the other day, or I'm sorry, it was last night. Like, two plays that should have been made. One, sort of his own fault, should have been over covering first quicker. Oh, well, makes a couple pitches, gets out of it. To me, that's a cool learning experience. That's what we should be seeing. And as it is, they say, like, that was such a high-stress situation. No, it's probably a confidence builder, to be quite honest. Like, he made pitches and got out of the inning, but then his day was done.
Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He covers the Pirates, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. All right, the tacky stuff, the sticky stuff, everything that people are using. How much do you think that this is affecting the Pittsburgh Pirates? And how much, a question secondary, do you think that any umpire really wants to enforce this, and will they enforce it?
I think they will enforce it, Colin. I think they're going to be made to enforce it. Do they want to enforce it? No. And I think there's a line with the sticky stuff that you're aware of, other people are aware of. Like, I don't think anybody around the game has a huge problem with, like, rosin sunscreen, you know, the paste that you develop. Like, that stuff's been around, man. Like, that's not trying to cheat your other players. That's just trying to do your job and the way these baseballs are and whatever, and whether you agree or disagree, like, that's sort of the sentiment around the game. Now, you cross that line and you go over into spider tack, or I don't know what the heck Hanrahan was talking about with you guys, like kangaroo glue or something ridiculous, like whatever, that, like, that stuff, man, that nobody wants that. That's cheating. But if it's stuff that's like in the dugout, you know, like, I don't know, if somebody would come up with something out of, like, you know, bubblegum and sunflower seeds, I personally don't think anybody would have that much of a problem with it because it's around. But, like, the chemically modified or engineered or whatever the word is for that stuff, like, that's what people want to get out of the game. And so umpires are going to enforce it, my personal opinion. And, I'm not surprised to see the Tyler Glasnows of the world upset because of this is, you know, they're just basically forcing guys to go cold turkey.
Jason and Jason Mackey, our Bucco insider from the Post-Gazette, with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Do you have a firm grasp yet on how this is going to actually be enforced in the middle of a game? From what I've read, the stories that I've read anyway of how they plan to do this is they're going to check every guy as he comes off the mound, but they reserve the right to check starting pitchers once in the middle of their start as well. Is that accurate? I mean, because I think what's going to drive people nuts about this is if they have even more stoppages in the game, which Major League Baseball has been so hard out against, and I don't disagree with that. If they can do this during a commercial break, I got no problem with it. You look at a guy's stuff, see if there's something on it, send it off to the authenticator who sends it to the lab in New York.
Yep. Chris, it's funny you bring that up. I was actually having that conversation with Kyle Crick in Milwaukee. And, you know, that's a real concern of players about, like, you're talking about speeding up the game and pace of play and whatever, and then you're going to throw this into it? This isn't going to help pace of play. I mean, this is going to be an absolute factor if you're checking guys multiple times. And so how it's going to work, at least my understanding of it, is, like, the umpires are going to have their discretion to go out there and look at a guy. And they can go check his hat, they can check his belt buckle. I mean, they're not going to strip search him or anything like that. But, you know, they can stop a game for a starting pitcher to examine what he's doing. I do think there are other mechanisms in place that I think they'll probably end up realizing might be more beneficial. But I think you have to see it play out. And what I mean by that is, you know, baseball's in play. And you're going to randomly, once you know, like, look, this came in, only the pitcher touched this baseball, we're going to get it out of play after a couple pitches and go, you know, examine it and see what substances are on there. And hopefully it comes back clean. Now, the tricky part with that is making sure that it's a baseball that only that pitcher touched. You know, if it was left over from the last inning or if somebody else had their hands on it, you can't really incriminate a guy. So I think a lot of it's going to be sort of feel-based. You're going to have to put this into practice. I think they're going to have some sort of patience rolling it out. But it's going to be interesting to see how they do that, like push and pull between, you know, turning this into like a TSA check line or something like that and continuing the baseball game.
You know, Jason, there's something that we've kicked around. I'm going to credit Colin with coming up with it, but we've got interleague play starting tomorrow. And the Indians are coming here, and so their pitchers are going to have to hit. Just to spice it up a little bit, would it make sense from a Major League standpoint to do it the other way around? In other words, to play the American League game in a National League ballpark to give the fans in each league something a little bit different?
That's a really interesting point, Jim. So what, you're in an American League park and you're going to make the pitchers hit just for the heck of it?
We've never seen it. Yeah, I thought of this.
Because that's the only way to make a difference.
We've run its course on what it is now. So when you play in Cleveland, have the National League hitters, have the National League pitchers hit. When you bring it here, have the DH.
I don't hate that. That's an interesting. I mean, to be fair, like I think baseball got it wrong this season, and I think they just should have kept the DH in here because I don't see any way you come out of 21, you know, with the work stoppage that I'm expecting, I think others are expecting, and, you know, you have pitchers hitting. But in the interim, I like your idea. I never thought about that, but why not, right? We've seen pitchers hitting, like, halfway decent, too, at least with the Pirates. Like, Chase Young had a double yesterday. That might be interesting.
Yeah, they just never mix it up or never have any sort of novel ideas. Same old with baseball all the time. Jason, thank you so very much. We appreciate it. We'll talk down the road.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Love being joined by him.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.